Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Edit this sheet out.
Why are we editing? We are live, episode number 60 of the Behind the Barricade podcast. Oh, choo, 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 choo. My name is John O'Connor. Like always, I'm with Daniel Tao.
What? Dude, you don't listen to 98.7 FM, do you?
What's 98.7?
Like, Michael Kay Show?
No.
Dude, they always use this thing. It's like when they say something like crazy or, I don't know, just like a snap at someone, it's called a hot take. So they play off like sirens that go like really fast, like bum 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 bum. Hot take. We should talk. Yeah. It's like you just got burned. Bum 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 bum. Hot take, dude. It's hysterical.
Let's not do that.
They do it, yeah, but they do it so much that it's funny. You know, like when someone like stop playing. That's what she said. Like just keep playing it, dude. It's fucking hysterical every time they do it. I actually did a
That's what she said joke the other day at work.
Don't you love those?
Oh, it's great,
dude. I did one. I can't remember what it was, but it was in the vault at work when I was like counting money. And this lady who I like, I joke around with, but not like that ever. We're like doing something randomly, and she said something like, that's what she said. Dude, we were crying. It was that fucking funny. Oh my God. I used to do that all the time. I don't do it where I work, though, because it's like, I don't know. Everyone's so busy.
I hear you.
But in the branch, I fucked around all the time.
It was great. Branch.
Love it.
Gotta love the branch. All right, so, we have been accepted by Vince Verico, which I'm guessing is the
Verico
drummer.
Verico Veins.
What?
Verico Veins.
What the hell's that?
You never heard of varicose veins before?
No, what the fuck is that?
Those are like the really blue and purple veins that pop out of like...
That's what it's called?
Yeah, varicose veins.
Oh!
Yeah.
Fuck. Maybe he's related to the scientist that found that out.
Like varicose, like plural, varicose veins.
Absolutely.
I think it's spelled differently, though, unfortunately.
Ah.
Yeah, we thought we were smart enough.
No, we're not. We need a fact checker right on this show.
Deadline to register by mail to vote in New Jersey is almost here. Register now. Posted by Facebook 30 minutes ago.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm already registered to vote, bitch. You can do this through Facebook? How hysterical is this?
Yeah, it's pretty sad, so.
Dude, so what do you think about the Donald Trump saying he'd grab a girl by the pussy?
Well, it's basically the equivalent of saying, fuck her right in the pussy. You remember that guy?
Please? Dude, I just thought of this, and we should do this on the show.
Fuck her right in the
pussy? Or we should... No.
Grab her right in the pussy?
We should literally do that. Come on. Internet sensation. Like, news channel, grab her right in the pussy. Come on. That's the new thing. The new trend that will get us popular. Once this guy's talking, I'm just going to randomly blurt out, grab her right in the pussy. And we'll see what happens.
I'd lose my mind.
What I don't fucking understand is people are freaking out about this, but that's what fucking men talk about, and that's all what they talk about. And not for nothing, like, all right, you know, Donald Trump's not fit to run the country because he talks like that. Well, what if a really brilliant and funny comedian talk like that? You wouldn't want him to be president just because he's...
Well, that's the thing.
Like
they go after comedians too for saying vulgar shit like that.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is just because someone could joke around like this doesn't mean they're not an intelligent person.
That's true.
Around the country. And he clearly is because he's a businessman.
That's also true.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
Not much. You know, trying to live the dream.
Ah, yes.
Do you have a 9-to-5 job?
No. I actually, I work at a restaurant, and he works at GameStop, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Power to the players.
Because I'm trying to live that dream, too, but I work a 9-to-5 job, so clearly that's not working.
And what
so
dream
well.
Is that, Dan?
Being a rock star and making millions and swimming in a boatload of cash.
Okay, don't quit your day job.
That was hysterical. So let's move on.
No, it was not hysterical.
Exactly. You want to know what was hysterical?
What?
Donald Trump saying he would grab her right in the pussy.
That was great.
That Come was on. Something. I don't exactly know what it was, but
did you watch the video though?
No,
because it was so funny. Is after he said that he got off the bus and met with this girl, dude. I'm telling you, after that interview or after whatever they were doing, they totally had a threesome. Because she would literally, if you watch this, you could totally tell both of them were flirting with this chick and she was accepting it.
Oh.
She was like, oh, come on. I'll take. They're like, who would you take, Donald Trump or Billy Bush? And she was like, I prefer both of you.
No.
Literally. And it was like one of those like cocky, like, you know, like I got two bitches like around my thing. But for a female.
Yes.
Dude, you could totally tell. She was like, afterwards, it was going down.
Okay. All right. Set up this video. I have never seen this video.
Afterwards, we will watch this and you'll be like, dude. She totally wants it from Donald Trump and Billy Bush, who I have no clue who is, and probably is related to the Bushes, but I could care less.
Anyway. Or maybe it's Bush's baked beans.
Oh,
you ever think
that's
of that?
Good too.
Yeah,
it's a good one. All right, so let's so let's get past this again.
All right, so we
Another
got
tangent.
Vince and Andrew.
Yes,
from Third Time's a Charm, coming from you. I was about to say coming from you live, but it's not really live.
It is. It is for now.
Yeah, right now it is. Yes, at this very moment, only the four of us are hearing this right now. So you guys are down. Where are you in New Jersey?
We're in the Burlington County area.
Okay, and that's what, Cherry Hill in that area?
That's close to it. We're about it's about 20 minutes north of Cherry Hill.
Okay, so around Trenton, more or less.
A little south of that, but yeah.
Okay, I'm right in the middle. Oh, God. Yeah. How cold is it down there? It's fucking freezing up here.
Yeah.
We actually had a pretty nice day. We had enough time and enough nice day to go golfing today, so it wasn't bad.
You went golfing? Wow.
Yeah.
Like legit golfing, not mini golf? Like
no, like legit golfing.
18 holes? Oh, wow. What's your handicap?
I have no idea.
200.
200.
For the front nine.
Dude, I can't even go freaking like to a driving range. I'm so used to like swinging a baseball bat that not that I've ever practiced golf anyway, but I can't get that like the motion is it's like similar but too different in a way you can't just translate from baseball to to golf.
Well, it's like swinging at a low pitch a little bit.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to hit a pitch in the dirt, I think that's what it's like.
Believe me, Andrew still has trouble with that every time we play.
Yeah. I used to play baseball.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow. I tried golf out as a kid, and I completely sucked at it. Like, I got a whole bunch of, like, blisters, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Am I making the right decision? I'm just going to be a screamer in a heavy metal band.
Yeah, and a lot of that turned out for me. Now I'm talking to two great pop punkers down in New Jersey, and I'm looking right at you, Dan.
Yes.
That is my life right now.
It's very sad that you have to stare at me for 45 minutes to an hour.
Each and every episode, too. So guys, so you're in a pop punk band. You sent me two songs before, and one of them has the most ridiculous title I think I've ever fucking heard in my life. Mm-hmm. And that title is Nicki Minaj Sucks.
I think I've heard more ridiculous titles than
that's
that.
Not even the most
but it is
ridiculous
a good one.
Title we have.
Well, oh shit, what is it?
No More Ducks in My Pants.
Okay.
How did that come about?
Yes.
Ducks in your pants?
Is that one? All of our song titles, well, not all of them, but some of them come from like experiences that we have. Me and Andrew happened to be in FYE in the Morristown Mall a year or two ago?
Like 3 years ago.
Yeah, we heard, this guy walked up to the counter, and he looked at the clerk behind the counter, and he goes, yeah, man, I finally got those ducks out of my pants, so I no longer have ducks in my pants. And me and him looked at each other, and we were like, that's a song title. It has to be.
So was he, like, referring to herpes, or did he get, like, so drunk enough that he just put, like, peeps down his pants?
We don't know.
I never thought of that. I'm gonna stick to the peeps thing.
It sounds more ridiculous than herpes, or, like, gonorrhea or something.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine being that hammered where you stick peeps down your pants and you, like, you wake up tomorrow, like the next day, and it's just all sticky down your nether regions.
Dude, come on. That sounds more like Molly.
Yeah.
Like you're on some kind of crazy drug like that.
Well, then again, you could be passed out and your dickhole friends like drew on your face and then put peeps down your pants.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great prank.
Well, now you know what to do when the other band members get intoxicated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, saving that in the books.
So, anyways, is any more ridiculous song titles or were those two like the top two?
I mean, I guess Nantucket, but that's only because you thought it was. He thought Nantucket was Mantucket for a long time, so one of our songs is called that.
Called Man? Wow. Okay.
So you just don't like to go with the normal song titles. You like to.
But they have a song called Tiptoe, which is somewhat in that normal area.
But then I guess it all depends on the lyrics, right?
That's true.
If you're like tiptoeing into someone's bedroom or something.
Yes,
I'm
Dan.
Trying to justify that being a funny song title, but
I mean that's exactly what the song's about. So
I'm a musical genius. Do you want me to write your songs?
Say no, say no, say no.
They will completely suck, and no, you'll get way less fans than you already probably getting now from, you know, song titles.
It's
stuff,
it's heavy on the drums and nothing else.
Yeah, all you hear is double bass and crazy loud drum fills, and no guitar, and loud screaming. But that's probably from, you know, effects in the background and stuff.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly that. And actually doing some somewhat research. I don't even know what I don't even justify what I do research. I basically look on and find something interesting. We have a mutual friend that all four of us in this room know.
And I have no clue who this is.
It's Steven from Atlantic City, the promoter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Now, yeah. That guy's a fucking character.
Yeah, he is.
He's something.
He's really nice. They're really nice
he's
people.
A great guy.
Yeah, him and his was his wife Nora.
I don't know.
I don't know exactly who that was. But they basically love TFL.
Yeah,
which is my current band now and Dan's old band, and it seems like every few months I get contacted. Hey, we have a great show down at the Boneyard or Le Grand Fromage or, you know, some other sketchy part of Atlantic City. You guys want to come out and play at like 12:45 in the morning? I'm like, what?
Yeah, so by the time that we get home, it's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
And there's people doing crack in the parking lot.
Yes.
But it's a good time, though. And the one show we played there, they bought merch and they paid us pretty well, so.
What about that terrible looking cross dresser that was there?
And that was hitting on someone's girlfriend, supposedly.
Oh yeah. Shit. There's always some fucking weird war stories when Steven is involved in some weird way. So if you aren't aware, we go off on like weird ass tangents.
And then some interviews we just talk about music completely the whole time.
Yes. So why don't you guys talk about your band a little bit? So you're I can't say you're a pop punk band. I think you're more of a punk pop band because there's like some elements of set your goals in your music, a little Alkaline Trio, more of the more faster paced punk songs. Well, out of the two that you sent me, than actual like poppiness to that. Would you agree to that or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have on the two EPs we have released, I'd say we have a lot of diverse music on there. There are definitely songs that are more pop punky, and then there are also ones that are more alternative. Hmm.
Wow, that's awesome. So you guys came out with two EPs, and how long have you been a band for?
Too long.
Way too long.
3 years?
2012.
Was it 2012?
Yeah, it was after high school.
Right after high school, yeah. So about 3.5, 4 years.
Wow, man, wow. So have you guys been in previous bands before, or is this like your first one?
Actually, this is our third band each, so.
Ooh, that's why the name kind of is the way it is.
I get it now. All right. So is this the third time's a charm? Is this the charm?
We're hoping.
For
well,
now?
I'm the charm, so.
Yeah, I just hit things.
Same here. Just like freaking K-Band, like woo-hoo-ha, like fucking just banging away.
Yes, Dan, that's exactly what you do.
Yeah, exactly. With your arms like this. And no one could see me, but
yes, he's holding them out like
kind,
he's
kind
like
of
a,
like you're so jacked that you can't touch your shoulders type thing, but you're playing drums.
Now that would be awesome. See, like a really jacked up like steroid guy just whacking drums.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Like
we've seen that.
What band was that?
I've seen jacked bass players. This one guy played at the Clash Bar, and he looked like he was on roids.
Dude, the fucking bass player for Bloodhound Gang, he's fucking jacked.
What about Trujillo? I don't know if I've ever seen his build, but like Trujillo.
Skinny. Oh, Robert Trujillo?
He looks like a massive, like who's that guy from, what's that movie? Expendables. You know that one guy?
There's like 90 different guys.
No, but
in that
the guy
movie.
That's like oddly, like really freaking jacked, and he's like huge and just oddly shaped. I'm trying to think of that guy.
Guys, jump in.
I have no clue. Yeah,
Chuck Norris.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Arnold was in that movie, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't remember either.
Well, anyway, dude, just like, he just does not look like a normal human being. Like
Robert Sheila?
Like, yeah. He just looks like this, like a big, just like a bigger version of people. You know, like video games that have like enemies, and then that one that's just like super fucking ginormous compared to everybody. that's what he reminds me of.
You know, he actually used to follow
our
us
band, yeah,
and our band.
And then he was probably like, "This band's going nowhere," so I'm
unfollowing. I actually DM'd him once, didn't get a reply, but I just had to do it.
Kinda, he was totally following for a follow.
Follow, FRF.
Yes. M/F, FRF.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Plez.
Are you guys on Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Plug that shit.
Our band Twitter is underscore, or is it not underscore?
@3TAC_NJ.
Okay. So why the underscore there, but not the underscore for Facebook? Just curious.
3TAC_NJ was actually taken.
Wow.
So
by who?
Assholes.
Oh.
They beat us to it, but we're more active, so we win.
That really should be a Twitter rule, because I'm not John O'Connor on Twitter, and I'm kind of pissed at that. I'm John B. O'Connor, and the guy who has John O'Connor tweets like once every 3 years.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Like, you should just put in like a request for that.
Yeah, but do you think they would also go by like how? Because dude, there's someone like me who like never tweets but is on Twitter daily.
Mm.
So maybe he just uses his account for like spying or just like reading people's tweets instead of actually posting.
Yeah, I don't know. He was like he had something to do with Congress or some kind of government official in Indiana, I believe. I think if you go to @JohnOConnor, OConnor on Twitter, I think that's it. Last time I checked. Like, he's a real like family guy too. And I'm not talking about Peter Griffin either.
But that's just one person.
Yeah, but like, he has pictures of like him and his wife and his kids, like the real like stereotypical American family. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the fucking Leave It to Beaver clan.
That's hysterical.
Well, I don't know exactly what's up with @JohnOConnor on Twitter, but that's what he looks like.
Nah.
Like, you guys have seen those people before, right? Where like you're walking down, you're like, everyone's like whistling a tune together. Like, you see like the stereotypical perfect family, and you're like thinking to yourself, like, okay, they really fucking hate each other in private life.
Yeah, you know, like in Step Brothers when they're all singing that song, and the was it the wife that fucks up like singing?
Yeah, it's
and,
the wife. Yeah.
And he just like berates her.
Flat.
Oh, I love that.
Save it with the solo.
So you're all like, you know, yeah, let him take over. And he like obviously like crushes it.
Destroys it.
Oh god. So also spying on your Facebook page, it seems like you guys have played quite a number of shows in the New Jersey and Pennsylvania area.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We usually play about 5 to 6 a month. We have what, 7 this month?
Yeah.
Oh my god. So do you think you're like oversaturating the market at all, or is it like
7? I mean, are you playing 7 different venues because like that you've never played before? Because that would be, you know, I guess that would be more beneficial.
Mm-hmm. We've played shows like, for instance, you guys were talking about the Boneyard a little earlier. We just played the Boneyard for the first time like what, 2 weeks ago?
A week and a half ago.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's funny because we played the Grand Fromage like a couple years ago. And then we were going down to the Boneyard. We were like, oh, I wonder where the Boneyard is compared to like Grand Fromage.
Directly in back of it.
It's right next to it.
It's like the same building.
But yeah, but now that we have a van, we just recently bought like a van for us to take all our gear around. We're gonna plan a tour to go to like, you know, different states like Maryland, New York, Maine, maybe Maine. That's way up there, but like different states finally.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, you know, that's a good thing. I find that that's the problem with a lot of New Jersey bands is they don't, like, you see them playing the same venues in New Jersey, and it's like, dude, just play one show out of the area, like, every couple of weeks, or maybe do a Weekend Warrior tour. And I was like, a lot of these bands are just, they don't want to do it.
It's the like, same thing, but they're like, oh my God, I'm opening for this national act. Now I'm going to open for this national act. And it's like $20, $25 a ticket. You're like, all right, we're seeing the same fucking show here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things we've addressed as like as the four of us as a band is like, we've seen a lot of New Jersey bands, like you just said, you know, they get big in this area. They're playing a lot of shows in this area, but they don't branch out. They end up being like that local band. And that's not what we want to be. When we want to be that band that can venture out and play shows in different states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would love to do that. It sucks. Like, you know, I asked about the 9-to-5 job thing. It's like, you know, some people, if they go on a tour, like one of the bands that we interviewed and went to one of their shows, they rented a van, you know, and they traveled all the way up from Florida. You know, for me, it would be like I'd have to use my 2-week vacation from work in order to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But, dude, I mean, unfortunately, like, you could get lucky with, you know, building a Facebook following and having a lot of views on YouTube and all that stuff. But, unfortunately, it comes down to that, like, doing the work and traveling. And I just don't understand how people think that they're just going to, you know, the problem is you build if you build it, they will not come. Like, you have to do something to promote that, you know? You have to get out and you have to go to different states and reach different markets. I mean, I don't know. I feel like New Jersey is just bad for music.
But it's one of the biggest markets.
I know, but I just feel that if you go, I just hear from different people that go to different states, like in Colorado or certain states, they're like crazy into music. It might not be metal or rock, but they're just so into like festivals. Clearly, we don't have, we barely have festivals in New Jersey, but in like California, maybe the market's differently, but they have huge, you know, festivals for music or, you know, in other states. I just feel like the music scene in New Jersey is difficult, you know?
Yeah, it's also difficult, and I actually just read a article off of Alternative Press where the whole premise of the article was play these small places. Like, if you play out in, let's say, South Dakota, where you're like, okay, who the fuck's gonna show up for that? Mm-hmm. There's really nothing else to do in South Dakota.
Yeah.
It's like, Well, I mean, fucking honestly, I mean, I've never been out to South Dakota, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot of cattle.
So do you think that could be the issue here? Is there's too much people and too much things to do that it's... You need to find a place, like you said, that music is the thing to do. Not, you know, like Nashville, that's huge for music. It might not be huge for metal, but do you know a place in New Jersey that's huge for music? Other than New York City, which is obviously not New Jersey, but...
I guess that's down in place. Like the Starland area.
Yeah.
And also like the Asbury Park, Jersey Shore, that type of area.
Yeah, like the only notable place I can really name in New Jersey is like the Stone Pony. And that's like where
Yeah, but I mean that's another thing too, is we're naming venues, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Nashville is not a venue. It's
We know cities.
Exactly. There we go. You know,
we know what a city is, yes.
But, you know, getting past that, like I said, it's a place. It's not just, like, a venue. Like, we know, like, a lot of venues in New Jersey that are popular. Just, I just feel like the music scene is very difficult.
I think Asbury Park might be the closest to Nashville because there's, like, 5 or 6 different venues in there. Plus, you have a whole bunch of bars that cater to local music. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, like, they have, like, some festivals, like Skate and Surf was down there. I don't know if it still is anymore.
Yeah.
It's up in the air.
Skate and Surf, yeah, I think that stopped. But, yeah, you're right, though. We know the struggles of, like, the New Jersey music scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus, you know, New Jersey is also spoiled.
Yeah.
Like, if a band comes through, they're going to be coming through, like, maybe once or twice a year. Yeah. Among, like, in a couple of years. Like, they'll be there, like, 2016. Okay, they came, like, once or twice around the area. Okay, they're back next year, and then the year after that. Whereas, like, South Dakota, you know, they might not get, like, a band like Five Finger Death Punch out there. Maybe, like, once every, like, 5-6 years.
Basically, if Breaking Benjamin comes out with an album, you know they're going to be in your area. Disturbed, you know, A Day to Remember.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it stinks when you're like, oh, you know, like you said, we're stuck up and spoiled. We see A Day to Remember goes on. This separate tour with another band, you're like, damn it, it's why the hell is it in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Because they always play, like, whenever a new album comes out, you know it's going to be in New Jersey. And if it's not on that first tour, it's going to be on...
It's either New York City or Philly, and you're right in the middle.
Exactly.
So take your choice.
Yeah, I mean, New York City is great. I kind of feel like for alternative stuff... Well, I take that back. That's probably not the case. But if you're in rock or metal or, like, punk and stuff, I feel like New York City is probably, you know, difficult, too. But yeah, if you're a pop singer or if you play like R&B or even hip hop, like New York is like prime, I feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Prime time.
Definitely.
You're like right, NFL. Definitely big bands come through here a lot because this the Susquehanna, well, not even the Susquehanna Bank Center anymore. It's the
BB&T. Yeah.
Yeah, all the big bands come through there, and that's literally like half an hour from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of that, we have pairs of tickets to give away for Megadeth coming this Sunday, October 16th, at the BB&T Pavilion.
I swear to you,
we have fucking tickets to give away. I'm not fucking with you.
That's hysterical they brought that up.
Yeah, that was a fucking perfect segue, so might as well bring it up. You guys want to go? Seriously.
Megadeth.
Yeah, it's Megadeth, Suicidal Tendencies, Havoc, Metal Church, Butcher Babies, and I think one or two more bands. I don't even know. But it's a whole big-ass show. We have pairs of tickets to give away. If you guys want to go, let me know.
If I go... It's Megadeth for me.
But okay, let's sit and enjoy this one for a bit.
All right, we're gonna take a moment of silence to remember that.
not a fan of Megadeth?
I'd listen to them, but I don't go out of my way to listen to them.
Yeah, same here.
Nah, yeah.
I love, dude, I'm not gonna lie, I love their music. I can't stand his vocals.
You don't like the Mustaine?
No, not at all. I mean, earlier, there's some songs, like, back in the day that I love his vocals. I feel in the beginning, he kind of tried to do it more melodic, and now it's just that weird, like, speak, like, in that weird voice of his. I don't know. But the musicianship is great. The band is sick.
Dude, the
but.
Guitar solos are just crazy.
Yeah. That one guy he's an arch enemy. Is he? No, not an arch enemy, but what their previous guitar player, Chris Broderick, is just, like, ridiculous at guitar. But I mean, I guess that's what happens when you say I'm going to do music for a living and you just lock yourself in a room for hours and practice.
Yeah.
You work with Dave Mustaine of all people.
Yeah. Well, no, but he said like when he was a kid, he would do that instead of like going out and like doing sports or whatever, you know, just from something I read, he would literally, you know, it was 2 hours of like guitar practicing. Like, I'm sorry, I don't like practicing drums. I like playing them. You know, there's a difference for me.
Yeah, there is a difference when you first
learn. It's like music and bands. I for practicing, I don't know if it's ADD, but I can't just sit down and practice flams. Like, I have to do it while playing the music or something, you know? But I hear a lot of drummers that get their way, too. The guy, he was one of the drummers for James LeBrie, the singer of Dream Theater.
Uh-huh.
His one, he was like, he's pretty sick at double bass. He's like, I didn't practice that. That just came from me playing in bands. So... I guess there's two ways of getting ridiculously good at instrument.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the same way as, like, take an athlete, for example. If you're shooting there, like, shooting free throws, you know, as a basketball player, obviously. If you're shooting free throws, you know, it's a difference between no one in the gym and a packed audience.
Yeah.
Like crammed in, you know, elbow to elbow, like, cheering or booing or whatever, and you're right there. You have to make these two shots. Like, the pressure will get to you if you're not used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you could go 100 for 100 in an empty gym and possibly go 0 for 100 with all this pressure.
Yeah, but still, if you're someone that didn't practice those free throws, you're going to get, like, the butterflies, probably. If you don't, you're just made differently. But I know for me, if I practice before a show and I know I'm ready, there's no butterflies.
Yeah.
But that show that you blindly go into and then you suddenly realize you're nervous, like, that's because you didn't fucking practice. But I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean if it comes from the show perspective, I don't usually ever get nervous for shows anymore, especially obviously because we play so many of them.
Yeah, but
I just kind of go up there and just have fun. And whether the people out there like it or not, I just kind of have fun with it.
Yeah, and that's true. I've been doing it for so long. I mean, in high school, I was in marching band. And with that, you know, the drum line, you're, like, right in front of people, like, doing tricks and shit. So,
definitely.
I mean, after a while, I'm just like, I mean, dude, what's the difference? And then my guitar player, who, like, barely has played shows, he just does, like, YouTube videos. He's like, still nervous. And I'm like...
Really? Phil's nervous?
Yeah. But, I mean, he also is in front of people, like, playing. And with people staring me, I'm behind the kit. I can also take off my glasses and be completely blind and not see anything.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another good thing.
That's what I do on stage.
exactly.
I can't see without my glasses.
So, I mean... But other than that, like, you can't, like, when I look down, I don't see someone, like, 5 feet from me looking at me. I see my drums and then the backs of musicians. I might see certain people in the distance, but it's not the same. But, and like you said, you've
been, how I am.
Yeah, you've been playing for so long that even if they do, you might get a little nervous, but after, like, one or two songs, it's common. You know, you've been doing that for so long.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the way I look at it is like, you practice your songs, and if, especially if it's your songs that you guys wrote, you've played them so many times, whether it be practice or shows, that it's your songs. You know how to play them. Just go out there and do what you know how to do.
And like the one band that we were just in, we interviewed in New York City, Famous Last Words, they were saying, they're like, listen, you know, the comparing like a small venue to a big venue, they're like, it's, if we were playing tomorrow in front of 30,000 fans, that would make a small band nervous, you know. If you're playing to five people and then you play in front of 30,000 people, like, holy shit, I'm nervous. This is crazy. For them, they're like, that's more motivation and more more reason for them to get more amped up, because that just, they've been doing it, and that helps feed their energy.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
But obviously I wouldn't know, because I've never played in front of 30,000 people.
No.
I would like to.
What was the most we've ever played in front of? Like 50?
Yeah, that's hysterical.
Whatever that firehouse show.
30,000 people and 50.
Well, that firehouse show was fucking mobbed.
Yeah. 50 people doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're in a small firehouse place, it's like...
Yeah, we were in like a VFW hall in Newfoundland, New Jersey.
Newfoundland.
Uh-huh. It's
Newfoundland, that sounds like it's in Europe.
Well, it is in Europe, dummy.
I know.
But anyways, like we played like this VFW small little hall, and just there was just mobbed of people that wanted to come out and check us out, which was
everybody from
nuts.
My graduating class came to that show
because there was nothing else to do in Newfoundland, New Jersey.
Exactly.
See, guys, you have to find these places and play at them.
Yeah, we got free beer and free food. Remember that?
That we did.
It was perfect.
That was a good time.
That's a good deal.
See, that's all we need as musicians: free food and beer.
Yeah, and some gas money.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
Gas money, food, and beer.
Women would be nice.
Maybe. Like, I mean, like women from, let's say, Nebraska, or women from like Los Angeles.
Women from the depths of Atlantic City by the Grand Fromage. No. Women that we can't tell are women. No. No thanks.
Oh God. Right. There's gonna be so much editing on this episode.
Just leave it.
Oh God. So I'm again stalking your Facebook, and you actually have a band photo with the Philly Fanatic. How the fuck did you manage that? That is fucking awesome.
We're super cool.
Right. No, really. How'd
Beside
you...
that. Besides for what you think you are.
We got asked to play this like live radio show thing. Mm. And
in the comedy club.
Yeah, well, at the comedy club in Philly. I forget the name of it. But that was pretty much it. He was like, oh, I got the Philly Fanatic. He's coming. And we didn't believe him, and he was there.
Wow, in full costume. Now, yeah, I hear the Philly Fanatic kind of smells. Is that? Can you attest to that?
He's big.
He's not. I don't think he smells, but then again, I wasn't that close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but sometimes there's people you don't have to be that close, and you smell them from like yards away.
Yeah. Then again, how often does that big ass suit get cleaned?
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, that's a suit?
Believe it or not, it's not his real skin. I mean, a lot of people ask me that. They're like, John, what about the Philly Fanatic? That's got to be real. I'm like, sorry, friend, that sounds exactly like me. He's not. I really break hopes and dreams over here. God. So you played on a comedy club stage. Was that, how was that? Like, how was like the PA system? How was that whole experience?
You know, it sounded really good. We went in thinking the drums are going to overpower everything. The PA system's not going to be loud enough. Or guitars are just going to be drowned out by everything. But it worked.
Wow. I can't believe it worked.
You and me both.
Besides the fact they had a board thing that had like 15 channels on it and only one of them worked.
Yeah. They...
Oh, okay. There we go. That's what I was waiting to hear. So you basically had to patch through all the sounds into one channel? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Well, what we did was we essentially just played with our live sound and had the vocals coming through the speakers. So we only had one mic to work with. And
oh, wow.
Both our guitarists sing, Andrew and Nick. So we had to play the songs that like they sung by themselves. Because we do have songs where they go back and forth.
Okay. Wow. I mean, that's got to be pretty awkward when you get to a venue and, like, the PA is like, yeah, we only have one mic and we only have one line.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
But that's what you know, we have to go through as local bands. You know, you're not going to play, like, a place like Starland or, like, a legit venue night after night.
Yeah, and I know it's convenient, but playing on a house kit is, I don't know. I hate bringing my stuff to shows, but when you're playing on this, like, this kid that's there's a cinder block holding the bass drum from moving forward, and you can't position the toms the right way. I don't know. It's just like, does it really take, like, if you let the band set up all their stuff before they go on, does it really take that long for them to put their stuff on and, you know, set up? But
yeah, really.
We played a show. I can't remember what the bar was called up in New Brunswick.
Okay.
But we got up there and like the drum set, like they had two cymbal stands that like didn't have any felts on them. They just had tape at the bottom. The hi-hat stand didn't have a clutch. The tom was like barely hanging on. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna bang the hell out of this drum set and it's gonna work. I hope.
It's the Court Tavern.
Court Tavern.
Oh, okay. I know the Court Tavern. Yeah. Wow. That's actually a pretty, like, I don't want to say it's a big place, but they get a lot of great acts in this
they
spot.
Do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Wow. I guess it's all about having, like, the correct booker and promoter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While they could be playing on, like, a shitty drum kit, as you just said.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I see why it's crappy. I mean, if they have every, couple bands a week, or multiple bands a week, you know, just banging away on the kit, you can't keep it in good shape because we know how much people take care of free stuff that is borrowed. So,
not yeah. The worst is when like you have like a tour package coming through and they have to use like the one kit from like let's say the opening band, mm-hmm. and there's like three other bands that like play on it night in and night out. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and also like, dude, do we really need these shows mic'd up? The drums mic'd up? I mean. To be honest, like half the time you really don't need it mic'd. Like at the Clash Bar, you do not need the drums mic'd up.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in that small of a room, you know?
Same at Le Grand Fromage, where it's just that small little area. Like people at the bar, they really don't give a fuck about what's going on in that next room.
I liked when we played there. The sound guy totally he wasn't supposed to be the sound guy.
Which time remember, was that?
The first time we played there, the guy was all mad and like venting to be like, this guy like messed up the sand. And
oh,
he messed
yeah,
up
yeah,
the,
yeah.
He messed up the mixer, which was, like, very tiny.
Yeah, he moved.
And he was like, I wasn't supposed to be here. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I was like, all right, Dante, shut the fuck up. Clerks reference.
It was hysterical.
Oh, God. But, yeah, how was your time at Le Grand Fromage?
Meet any crackheads or hookers?
Anything?
Man, Le Grand Fromage, how long ago was that?
That was our second show.
That was our second show. That was when we had, like, me and Andrew are the only two original members of Three Tag. We're not the full bus that we have now. Weren't the originals. And that was back when we first started. And what I remember from that show was, I was the guitarist at the time. I wasn't even the drummer.
Oh, Jesus.
They brought out the drum set that our buddy Sean was the drummer at the time playing on. And he was just like, what is this thing? Mm-hmm. But other than that, the sound wasn't bad. It actually sounded decent in there. But we played for like the three other bands and like, I think our parents. Maybe it wasn't even our parents.
Your parents went there? Did they ever go to any of your shows after that?
My parents don't. We practice in my parents' basement. They're like, we hear you enough.
Yeah. My dad. I don't invite my dad because it's just the style is completely not what he would listen to.
I don't even invite my parents either.
Yeah. I mean, I invite my mom. Like, she's the one who, like, doesn't care. But I'm like, Dingbats, I'm like, you can stay home. I'm not going to invite you to a place, which is awesome. I like Dingbats, but I'm not going to invite you where a place where the bathroom smells like urine.
Yeah. Don't you love those venues where you get in there and you're like, oh, my God, I have to take a shit. And then you look at the toilet, you're like,
I'm going to be squatting over the toilet.
Or you like contemplate, okay, I'm going to shit my pants here.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's more worth it.
I don't want any fucking
spare clothes. I'll just shit in these.
Hey, just cut a hole right in the asshole part of the jeans and just like fucking squat and pray for your fucking dear life.
Before my, was it Soil? The first show, we didn't play for anybody. It was just like a local show. But the first show we played at the Chance, one of those moments. I'm like, we're about to play and I have to shit. So they're like, I have no point but to squat. Dude, it was literally like the toilet seat was like off the left hinge.
Oh,
and
no.
And there was piss all over it. And I had to go. So I just, like, used the toilet paper to lift up the seat and just crouched over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least you didn't, like, shit all over the seat.
No.
I was
you know what?
Animal.
I should have. Like, clean your toilets. That would have been bad. I'm not that type of person, so I didn't. But I think about that kind of stuff. And then my good conscience says, don't do it. That's a piece of shit move.
Literally.
Literally.
Oh, God almighty. Right. Anything like that happened ever happen to you guys? Like, really have to piss right before a show and there's, like, a line, like, a mile long?
I don't think so for me.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, there was one time before we played at the Game Changer.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We played a Game Changer, and just before we went on, we were waiting out back, and I was setting up my cymbals, and all of a sudden, it just hit me.
Oh.
I was pacing around, and I was already angry about something that had happened that day, and I can't remember what it was. So I'm pacing around waiting to go on. We go on, we play. As soon as we get off the stage, I'm like, guys, move my drums. I gotta go.
Please. Like, and they would see it in your eye, like, okay. Like, yeah, there's like, no questions. It's
The venue's like 30 degrees in there. Everyone's freezing while you have like beads of sweat coming out down your face. You didn't even hit one cymbal yet. You're like, oh god, 30 more minutes.
Now, are you guys the type of musicians that are like, I can't eat or drink or smoke or before you go on? Because honestly, I mean, yeah, I can't eat a bowl of ice cream before I go on, but I could eat just a meal, like a normal meal,
anything,
before,
man.
I play. Really?
Yeah.
Now, is that like nervous wise or just?
Well, basically, what goes on?
Come on, we're drummers, so like, I mean, we're doing a lot more physical activity, but except for crazy singers that bash their heads into mics. John.
Yeah, sorry.
So maybe that's why.
Hey, when you're in the moment and you want to bash your skull in with a mic, you fucking do it. And it works if you're a heavy metal band. Like, I'm not like a pop singer or anything. That would be kind of comical though. just hearing like a rendition of like Justin Bieber's like. Whatever his song is. Next thing you know, you just go like full Gigi Allen on the crowd, just shit in your hand, throw it all over the place. Yeah. Now that I would pay for. But anyways.
Back to the question.
Yes. For me, like the day of the show, I have to shit at least like 4 times a day. Like I turn like, I don't want to use the term like anorexic, but like you would see my bones if I took off my shirt, like on a stage. Like, it gets that bad where I just have to go. Right before the sets, I might just pound, like, an energy drink just to, like, get my, I guess, calm my nerves and get me, like, all amped up and for me to do crazy shit because I'm one of those types of singers. Mm-hmm. But I can't eat anything. Like, I can't even, like, look at food. Like, if I smell food, my stomach will start to gurgle.
Oh.
So it's because of nerves that you can't...
It's nerves up until the point where I say hello into a microphone. Like, after that, I'm fine. The minute the set is done, I get back to that feeling for like a good half hour afterwards.
What about you guys?
I mean, I don't know about you. I choose to like not eat anything I know is going to cause me to go to the bathroom, like either just before or just like while we're playing. My dad, he's in a band. He's a guitarist in a band called Rearview Mirror. Well, I guess they're not called that anymore. But my dad, they're a cover band. And after, like, they'll play, like, two or three sets a night. After their first set, he always orders, like, a plate of wings. I'm like, I could never do that. I'd
be
in the bathroom, like, third song.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like I said, dude, if I had, like, a bowl of ice cream, it'd probably be...
You're, like, fucking lactose intolerant.
Yeah, but, like, on normal days, I could eat ice cream and be fine. But, of course, in that moment where you have to play a show or, like... Oh, I got a long trip and I'm in a car with someone driving and you had ice cream, like then it hits. You know, it's like that type of moment.
Or like if you're driving and like, oh shit, I have to shit. Oh my god. And then you like you have that like it's like a brief area of, oh my god, I think I can hold out. I think I can hold out. The second you see like a gas station, like something tells your mind like, "Oh my god, there's a bathroom there. Prepare to shit." And you're like, oh, I'm not there yet.
Prepare to shit.
It's not even like the moment when you're like, oh, I feel like I could hold it. That's the moment you know you're done.
Oh,
as soon
yeah.
as that happens, like 2 minutes later, it's like, nope, should have gone.
Did you ever have any close calls with that? Not even like at a show, like in general?
I have.
Have you?
You were with me.
Which one?
We were selling something and we sold drum cases to a buddy of mine in PA.
Oh, right. Right.
And I had, what is it called? Charlie's Cheesesteaks.
Oh, that's a good shit.
Yeah.
I know. But I got like extra cheese and extra ranch on it.
Oh, you're just asking for trouble.
A few hours go by and we're driving and it hits me. And you want to finish it?
All right. We're coming over the Bristol Bridge coming into Burlington from Philly.
Uh-huh.
And it just hits him. We're like, oh, there's a Dunkin' Donuts right there. Let's go pull in the parking lot. We pull in the parking lot. They're closed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he gets back in the car. He's like, why did God give us bodies? He zipped out of my house as quick as he could.
Oh, God. The worst is when you don't make it. Thankfully, I haven't had that scenario happen.
I haven't had that happen since I was like in first grade. I have a lot of close calls. That was the only time I remember.
Where you shot yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like when I was like walking into like my gymnasium, and it just like boom.
Oh,
just,
you like, shit yourself in front of all your
nah,
friends?
Nobody, dude. We're little kids. Nobody saw. They're out throwing balls at each other and shit. But yeah. No, every time after it's been close calls, but this is the only time. Oh. And this once on a freaking indoor percussion trip, dude, I was, you know, you ever have that friend that when you're in a situation like that and you're like, pray to God, like this doesn't happen. And you have that person that's just laughing and egging you on. Like,
oh, no. Yeah.
Dude, I'm like sitting there in the corner like, please, God. And this kid's like, oh, how did you fart? Did you fart? I'm like, dude, shut up. Like,
you smacking your stomach.
Yeah, no, not like that bad. But like just keep like joking around and laughing. Dude, we stopped at like some fancy like elk place. And I just, dude, as soon as I got in there and like, dude. I don't want to see anybody go into that bathroom after that. It was horrible, but
the worst was like in like before we could drive. Like if you were going to school, like on the bus,
yeah,
it's like sport and the bus, and like you know you couldn't stop. Like if you were in a car driving, like yeah, let me stop at like the nearest whatever.
Yeah.
When you're on the bus, you know it takes like 30 minutes to get home. You got to hold it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and like luckily the drum teacher was like understanding. He was like, all right. To the bus driver, like, you got to find a place to pull over, like, as soon as possible. It was bad. Like, and, of course, that walk of shame, like, walking from the back of the bus, like, excuse me, can you...
Everyone's slapping your ass.
Hey, buddy, can you stop this? I really got to go, and if you don't pull over in the next 2 seconds, it's not going to be good for everybody else.
Especially you.
Yeah, because I'm right here.
Yeah, you don't want to be known as the kid who shit himself, because you'll always be known as the kid who shit himself.
And there was one in high school that was... Like, he was poked fun at, like, not, like, bad, but, and you could tell he was just, like, embarrassed. Like, whenever someone would make that joke, it was, like, immediate shutdown, like, embarrassed, you know, like, sad puppy face type thing.
Oh.
And, you know, you can't get into arguments with people when that happens, too, because they're just like, oh, remember the one time you shit yourself? Ha, ha, ha. Like, argument done.
That's basically the Helen Keller apples to apples card right there. It's like, you're not getting back from that.
No.
Oh, God almighty. Where is the time gone? We just talked about shitting for the last, like, 20 minutes. Well, this is going to be known as the shit podcast. not content-wise. Well, technically, yes, content-wise, since we were talking about feces the entire time.
Brought to you by the Open Anthony Wannabes.
Oh, God. So, guys, do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we have...
Might as well plug away.
The remaining shows of this month, we have an acoustic show on the 21st to benefit at Wahoo's. I'm not sure where that is.
It's the Cable Box.
Oh, is it the Cable Box now? Yeah. Or they changed it to the Cable Box. Then we have a weekender, basically, at the end of the month on the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th.
A little Halloween run.
I got to recheck that.
The 28th, I think, is at Kung Fu Necktie in Philly.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that venue. That venue's still around?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah. Wow. That's going back a few years. Holy shit.
The 29th, I can't remember. Kirsch is going to pull up on his phone real quick. And the 30th is Suplex City.
Suplex City.
It's a house show, right?
It might be.
I don't remember.
I was going to say, fans of WWE much?
Yeah, a little Brock Lesnar fan.
That's what I'm guessing.
I hope we play on a wrestling stage.
That'd be awesome.
That would be pretty badass, wouldn't it? Just like, what was it, the Last Resort video by Papa Roach? Weren't they on like a wrestling ring or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you played on a comedy club, so what's a wrestling ring?
Our favorite band has a video with a fighting ring.
Our favorite band?
Yeah. Just think about it. Band that starts with a T. Bring It. Trapped.
Oh, it took me a second.
There's actually a lot. I'm trying to think of another. There's like another popular band that I listen to that they have like a video of two chicks, like a UFC fighters, like going at it, and of course, like
I know what you're talking about.
The one
too.
That like constantly gets beat, like at the end of the video, like she takes down the that one chick.
No,
I'm trying to think.
The craziest one, I think it was Circus Survive, where Anthony Green, the lead singer, was fighting a gigantic baby in a boxing ring. Mm. Yeah, wow. Look that up. I forgot what video it was for.
Amaranth, Drop Dead Cynical. She's like in a boxing ring with like a bunch of chicks.
I didn't see that.
You know, you should watch the video. It's a good video. Yeah. You might not like the song, but you'll like the video. Trust me.
The 29th is at NJIT in Newark.
Oh, shit. Nice. That's next to me. All right.
Nice. John, you better show up.
I don't know if that area is kind of fucked. Where at NJIT? Do you know offhand or?
154 Summit Street.
Okay, so it sounds like a frat house.
Yeah.
Might be, which would be a cool show.
Yeah, and definitely.
We're actually working on a show opening up for Such Gold in November.
Oh, Stanhope House?
Yeah.
Nice.
I blew that secret away. Well, it doesn't help that one of the people that helps us out works over at the Stanhope House, so I basically know of all these shows beforehand. And also, When Thieves is also on that show.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, some of our friends who was actually on this podcast, I think
they
were...
Didn't they play with them?
We've never played with...
Didn't they play with them?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't that in our interview with them?
They're with them? They're like friends with them.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they opened... They were at, like, last minute on a bill out in, like, Staten Island, and they actually showed up and played there with Such Gold. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually know each other, like, very well, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So when you're up there, if you do get the gig, and I'll put in a good word for you guys. So when you're up there, definitely say hi to When Thieves Are About and also Such Gold. Fuck yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Have you ever played Stanhope before or no?
We played in December, our first time there, opening up for Handguns.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay,
title.
So you know that venue pretty well.
Yeah.
It's a cool place.
It's a great place, but in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And they're trying to sell it for $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that, but I think there's a some kind of real estate advertisement where they're looking for $1 million to buy the Stanhope House.
Done.
Let's do it. Behind the Barricade.
There we go. Why not? Behind the Barricade presents the Stanhope House.
Yeah.
You still have to have the name in there.
We're getting rid of that.
Okay,
it's
fine.
It's
just
going to be Behind the Barricade.
Which is sounds like a pretty cool venue
exactly.
idea. Yeah.
You could be the Barricade House.
Oh,
there we go. I like how you're thinking.
Do we have investors? Do we have investors? Going once, going twice?
Can we get $20 from you guys? $25.
Going once. $1.
Dollar sold. That's like, what, 0.001% of the Stanhope House or what they're asking for?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. Imagine just buying that for $1 million. I think that has to be a terrible investment.
Oh, definitely.
I think
it's a good investment, not for $1 million.
Well, yeah. I think buying any established venue is a terrible investment in my eyes.
Well, clearly because they make money and clearly don't fix these places up.
No.
So they're obviously not making enough to make their venue look better and more... Be more presentable.
That's true. But we've played in worse places than Stanhope House.
That's true.
But oh, every band has. Every band has played that one place where they're like, why? Why am I here?
Where was your place?
I'm trying to think of...
The Meat Locker? Montclair?
We never played the Meat Locker. I don't think we've played. Have we
not
played
yet.
It? No.
We're setting one up in January, though.
Good luck.
Have fun with that.
Hope you don't catch hepatitis.
Get your tetanus shot. And make sure you bring a cover for your drums. The one time I was there, it was like the part of the venue where they have you put your equipment, it was like dripping condensation.
Yeah, we're not too sure what kind of condensation that was.
It could have been something from the toilets upstairs. Or
yeah, and it doesn't help that the upstairs portion is a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, and you can't play out, like, you can only play after a certain time.
Yeah, I think, like, doors to the places open, like, 10 or 11 p.m., like, after the restaurant's closed.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you're going to be on at, like, 2:45 in the morning, and there's still going to be a good amount of people. There's about maybe, like, what, like, 10 people that'll be there at, like, 2:45 in the morning.
And they film you for God knows why.
I don't know. Yeah, why would you ever have that place on video? I'd be embarrassed, but, hey, whatever.
2:45 in the morning. Sounds good.
Yes. 2:45 on like a Wednesday night, like some ridiculous night.
So something tells me I'm not going to math class the next day.
No. No.
You need a rain check on that.
Yes, unless you're going to pull an all-nighter. But anyways, did you guys remember that one venue?
still thinking.
I'm trying to think. Like, we've played a lot of places that, like, we played a lot of good, like, places that were, like, dive bars, but they weren't bad. Like, they still had decent equipment and sound, and it wasn't, like, disgusting.
Yeah, like Dingbats.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you ever played up there, but.
I don't know. Have we played Dingbats?
Yeah.
We've played Dingbats. It's probably some place in Philly that we've played.
God damn. Yeah, do you remember your worst venue, Dan, or was it
I
the meat locker?
I just named it.
Oh, it was the meat locker.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, my
I'm sorry, I completely hate that place. Then I got into an argument with the one promoter, the one chick that promoted that place, because I was posting. I'm like, you all these bands play here, and I'm like.
You're talking about Cindy?
I don't know. Yeah. It might have been her, but she, like, got all butthurt because I'm like, listen, I mean, you know, bands want to bring fans to, like, these shows, and how do you expect me to bring people and have them come back to my shows if your venue is, like, disgusting, you know? But they're like, oh, they try, like, really hard, and I'm like, like,
that's trying?
But still, it's like, you know, if you're going to open up something and it's going to be half, you know, half-assed, or it's going to be disgusting for people, why even open it, you know? Like, if the quality's not even going to be, like, you know, a little bit, like Dingbats, but a little worse.
Mm.
What's the point, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But people, like, my one friend was like, I love playing there. Huh. He was like, it's just that dirty, disgusting basement show that, like, people love. And he liked it. I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't see the appeal, to be honest.
Yeah.
My venue, it doesn't have to be nice, but I want it to be a place that I could see me inviting people to.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel embarrassed inviting people to the meat locker, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, oh, come to my show. And then they show up and, oh, your music is good, but the venue is disgusting, you know?
Yeah.
And that might hinder them. Say they're like, oh, you know, they immediately have a bad vibe from walking into the place.
Oh, Dan has another show. Oh, it's probably the same place as he played before. Yeah, I'm not going to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, exactly. Fuck up a lot of local bands. But we're not saying that the Meat Locker is one of those places, but in Dan's eyes, yes.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to be honest.
So Dead Tide's not going to play there anytime soon?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell them, though. And did they open that place up again?
Meat Locker?
Yeah.
Remember
it closed for, like zoning or
whatever?
Oh, that
issues? Was years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
And they opened it up again?
Yep.
God.
And believe it or not, they were actually going to get Census Fail to play there.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that. They were like, we were made to believe that venue could hold more people than it actually could.
Yeah, apparently it was the town that shut it down.
Yeah. Well, that's when I saw Census Fail posted that. It was like some kind of like meet and greet thing too, and I'm like, "Are you freaking?"
They were gonna have a pizza party beforehand, and then afterwards they were gonna play.
I'm
a
like,
set.
"This is not gonna go well." I was gonna go because I loved Census Fail at the time, but
I was gonna stand in line at like maybe 11 in the morning for that show.
Dude, could you literally could like do, like go and like reach out and touch them, no problem. Not that I would do that. I'm just saying like
yes, you would.
That's the type of venue. Oh, especially when they're sweating. But no, but literally, it's like there's no barricade. They're not behind a barricade. They're not
womp womp.
They're not behind anything. It's just like a raised platform.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? You like the local sweaty shows, or do you like the more polished venues, like let's say Starland?
Local sweaty shows.
Local sweaty shows. I like playing the local sweaty shows because they're very intimate.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be cool to play like the Starland Ballroom or bigger shows. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, those dude. If you play at Starland Ballroom, you're playing in front of a good crowd. You know,
depends.
Definitely.
I don't know. For all the shows I've been there, it's been a freaking pretty decent crowd. What was weird is Offspring. I would admit in 2007 or whenever I saw them, dude. Literally, it was funny. We were all the way up front. We were standing in front of these people. Dude, I would say 5-10 minutes before Offspring came on, it was just like the people showed up. Dude, that place just got. That was probably the most nastiest show I've ever been to. I went from the front all the way to the back in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Dude, that place went nuts. And normally at like venues that I go to, it's as long as you're around the pit, you're good. This was like the whole thing was fucking moving. It was crazy. But yeah, dude, it was like nobody there. And it instantly, like 5-10 minutes before, it just got nuts and people filled in. Like pushing, trying to get up front. Dude, it was crazy.
Jeez.
But, yeah, I can see your point.
I've seen two shows there. I saw the Word Alive there, which that place was packed for that show.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep.
And then
BTB
I also
alums.
Saw. What?
Oh, sorry. I said BTB alums. They were on the show.
Oh,
continue.
And I saw All Time Low there with Handguns. couple summers ago. That when that show, I mean, when I say it was like from front to back, packed with just like 15-year-old girls. That's what it was.
Oh God, help you!
I was like, God, I'm 20. This is wrong. Please go away.
You want to know it was a bad show? I went to
bad as in
like with
crowd wise.
Other than Heffron Drive, which it was a good show for them, but like, dude, so many tweenies like, oh my God, Heffron Drive is on, blah 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 blah. What's that band? They're kind of like,
Do they sound like that one? Do they have that one song?
No, they're popular. Dude, why is this name splitting me? They had that song, By the Way, with the guy from Daughtry.
You mean Chris Daughtry?
No, him. But the song was called By the Way. What's that band? They're like kind of like they mix like hard rock and country a little bit.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
The guy's
about.
Hair is like slicked back, kind of like Volbeat. He kind of like looks like that. Dude.
I know what these people fucking look like.
Well, you don't know the guy from Volt.
I know what Michael Paulson looks like. Yes.
I'll find the name of the band. But anyway, yes. Dude, it was like 40-year-old MILFs. Like, not that like I wouldn't like that, but just you know how when they're all like into a band and like, oh my God, I'm here with my husband and like, dude, it was just like screaming at the top of their lungs, like, dude, shut up, like like you're ear piercingly loud, like that type of. Like 40-year-old women, and I was surprised. I didn't think it was that type of music, but
although I was just at Starland for Green Day, I actually scored tickets to that, and the entire
nice.
Yeah, that whole show was just phenomenal. Besides the opening act, was fucking horrid, but thankfully we showed up late. Starland was so bad that both parking lots in the Starland lot and across the street in the VFW were sold out. We had to park a half mile away on the street and walk.
Damn. And by the way, it's Theory of a Dead Man.
Oh, I know Theory. Okay. Yeah.
And by the way, it was the middle of the winter. My brother had the bright idea, like, oh, just leave your jacket in the freaking car. So it was like 20 degrees. I'm standing online for like 40 minutes. And, of course, it's all hot as balls in there until Theory of a Dead Man comes on and they blast the air conditioning. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Dude, I'm telling you. It was dude, it was like Lacuna Coil, I think, in Theory of a Dead Man. The show was amazing. Other than I thought the lead singer of Theory of Damon wasn't that good live. But other than that, like those bands were amazing, but the show itself just was like shit from the get-go. If only I brought my sweatshirt, that would have made the whole night much better.
Yes, Dan. It's all about you.
You know how that one moment just like destroys the rest of the night and things just like trickle down and spiral out of control?
Yeah, especially like if that. Yeah, okay. Especially like if you're staying next to a pit and like some jerk off decides to run up and just like jump on you and just like fucking elbow you.
Yeah.
And like the entire show is like ruined.
Or you're filming and then just someone just decides to throw someone out of the pit and hit you while you're filming and drop your fucking camera in the middle of the pit. Yeah, that happened to me.
Well, what are you doing in the middle of a pit with
I wasn't
camera?
In the middle. I was outside of it. But of course, that's how hard the guy hit me that my camera flew and slid underneath. In the pit. I was, like, literally looking in the dark. And suddenly, dude, randomly some freaking chick picked it up and was like, here you go.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah. Dude, but normally it'd be like, stomp. Like, you're not finding that shit unless it's broken. But. Well,
yeah. And I know you guys have been at, like, some of these crazy shows. I was thinking of the word raucous. Would that have worked?
Show raucous with a show? Ruckus?
Ruckus, yeah. There we go. Those ruckus shows.
It describes it, but not like in the way you're describing it.
Yeah.
The show that there was a ruckus, you know, during it.
So was there a ruckus at a Third Time's a Charm show or not yet?
I think it was the EP release show.
That one was intense. But the one that I'm thinking of was a basement show that we played in with, what's that band? Oh, no. Can't think of their name.
Was them or us that made the pit?
Us.
Us?
Henry got smacked in the face with the microphone. Yeah.
Oh, so at least we have a common, you know, a common thing that happened. The smacking
yeah, whatever
the
band
the
was. I do remember that show. The show we played No More Ducks in My Pants, which has a breakdown in it in the near the last chorus. But it's like chorus, breakdown, chorus. And during that breakdown, our bassist Henry likes to run out in the crowd. And that pit was pretty massive.
What about the Dorffest when Henry got knocked down?
Oh, right, yeah. We played a show. It's a band called Ingdorf, who are our close friends. Plugging them.
There we go.
Check them out. But they're like melodic post-hardcore, but we're really good friends with them, and they had a thing called Dorffest at the end of August, And we played that song, No More Ducks in My Pants. And he ran out in the crowd and people were moshing. And I think it was someone like swung their arm and like hit him.
Yeah.
And like clotheslined him. He just flipped and smacked on the ground. It was great.
It sounds like that song is a problem for no one except for Henry.
I can't take
because he's the one who runs out in the crowd.
I can't take that title seriously whenever they mention it.
No More Ducks in My Pants. That is a badass song title. Oh God! But like after the second time of getting hit, like does he still run out in the crowd?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh definitely. My God! And he has a weapon in his hands.
It's like that person that never learns.
He puts the base down.
Oh God Almighty!
Like yo, bitch, take my base. I'm walking in.
Yes, that's exactly what happens then.
Oh man!
But I mean, you should run in with the base and protect yourself with said base.
Yeah.
Like what? It gets hit. Like all right, it goes out of tune or it pops a string. Who cares? It's better than getting knocked out or clotheslined.
I mean, it's our last song of the night usually, so yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
True.
Jesus Christ. So guys, that was one hell of a conversation. That's all I gotta say.
That was a conversation.
but this is what I like doing. I hate the whole Q&A thing. You know, I hate to be like, oh yeah, so you're promoting this song. Okay, now you have this song. Okay, all right, how's your band for and like stuff like that. You know, like what other interviewer are you going to talk about shit stories and then talk about, you know, people getting knocked out?
Right, and that, and when you talk about stuff like that, you kind of get to know the band you're talking to a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. So now everyone listening to this are going to go out and see Third Time's a Charm and know that, oh, shit, let me get out my cell phone camera because Henry's going to get knocked the fuck out.
Oh, that was classic.
You got knocked the fuck out.
Bitch.
All right, guys. Any last minute plugs besides you got the shows coming up? You have you're on Facebook at 3TAC TACNJ. You're on Twitter at 3TAC_NJ because some jerk off already has it. Mm-hmm. You guys have two EPs up. Is it up on like Spotify or iTunes or anything?
We're on Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp. You could Shazam us too.
Ooh.
We're actually going to be releasing a dual EP with remastered of our album Local Zero.
Okay, I was about to say, isn't a dual EP just called an album? Is it just a full length?
Yeah.
It sounds unique that way. Too. Instagram, all right.
Yep, you're on the Instagram. You guys on the Snapchat or anything else?
We are on Snapchat. I think that's 3TACNJ, but we don't really use Snapchat. We're on YouTube, which is just with a Third Time the Charm NJ.
Yeah, on
YouTube.
There we go. I still don't know how to use Snapchat. Like, we have a Snapchat, but I have no idea what I'm doing.
I don't know. I don't see the whole thing about it.
But it's like the number one social media, like,
dude, it's so annoying. It's like, you just play something, and you're like, oh, I want to see that again. It's like, press and hold the replay, and this will expire. I'm like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Just let me see that again. Like, I don't know. It's just annoying. You have to, like, press and hold. You can't just, like, click on someone's story and view it again.
I know. You're trying to view a dick pic, and you just go through it once. You're like, oh, God damn it. Now it's expired.
There's not enough on Snapchat. You got to press and hold that one dick pic.
Yes. Apparently, it's very popular with the sexting community.
Yeah, but doesn't it stay there? Like, people can go and view your story. Well, that's if you share it to your story. Then. Yeah. So if you don't do that, I guess people can't see it. But
this conversation just turned into, like, Spanish. Yeah. What's up?
Let's be real. Snapchat was made to send dick pics like that, so no one else could ever see them again.
Actually, you want to know
it was made.
I don't know the name of it, but Mark Cuban actually designed an app that it's like
for dick pics.
No. Oh. Well, like, dude, it could be for anything. supposedly, this app, it's like once you send it to someone, it's not traceable and it disappears. So like, if the government wants to subpoena for it, it's like completely gone. You can't get it back. I was listening to Mark Cuban. I don't know the name of it, but look it up. Supposedly, he created an app that literally it's for cheating on your freaking your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's sending dick pics. It's like that's
is that called Ashley Madison
or the app trying to, you know, sell drugs with Bitcoin and stuff like that. You know, just use this by Mark Cuban. You're good.
Shout out to Mark Cuban. But that is a fucking genius idea.
Yeah, seriously. But.
I mean, I don't really send anything too graphic.
No. I don't ever have anything that someone can't just open my phone and see, to be honest.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, well.
All right, so
So, guys,
before we get on a tangent, let's end this interview.
Yes. So, third time's a charm. Thank you guys so much for coming on. And it's Andrew and Vince, right?
Yes.
All right. There we go.
All right, nice.
My memory is still sharp. So, guys, you sent me two songs, Nicki Minaj and Tiptoe. Which song do you want me to play out?
I'm thinking Tiptoe.
Yeah, Tiptoe.
Tiptoe? All right. Fuck it. Here's Tiptoe by Third Time's a Charm. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Of course, man. See ya.
She's so attractive, I can never